Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with David Welday, and we're talking about your book, Shaping Your Family's Story. I loved your little biographical information here. It says that you love being a dad, and you love it even more than playing a guitar, snow skiing, golf, and drooling over exotic cars. By day, he is a marketing strategist and coach, working with a wide range of nonprofit and corporate clients. He still adores his wife, Amy, and is the proud father of three sons and a growing group of grandchildren. And you just have a newborn.
That's
grandchild.
Right. That group grew just in the last week. In fact, we were just laughing because we just had sons. In fact, one of these days I'm a publisher, so I keep thinking I want to write a book called Time Flies When You're Having Sons. So for years, my wife has been the only female in the household, but now we've got three precious, marvelous daughter-in-laws, and my middle son now has two girls and one boy. So I just realized all of a sudden the girls are outnumbering the boys in our family, and that just scares me.
Well, you should be scared, just so you know. Your first section of your book, you titled Ready, Set, Action. And you're talking here about the foundation or laying the foundation for your family's story. Explain that.
Sure. I'm of the opinion that every parent wants to do a good job. Nobody gets up and says, I think I'll be a lousy parent today. So people have a heart to do the right thing, but in their heart of hearts, they're scared. And I think most, especially new parents or parents when they begin to enter the teen years, they're secretly convinced that they must really be messing up their kids' lives. And so most parenting books that I have seen, nobody wants to read because they're full of do's and don'ts and shoulds and should'haves. Mm-hmm. And people already feel overwhelmed and they already feel a certain level of judgment. And so when I wrote this book and then partnered with Dr. Jim Cofield on putting it together, we were both very intentional in wanting to be encouraging and uplifting and giving parents insights and tools that did not come across as, well, you should have done this or you should have done that, because we already feel a certain amount of unnecessary, but nevertheless, we do feel a certain amount of guilt. And so I wanted this to be a parenting book for people who don't want to read parenting books.
But so when you're talking about making a great family story, you're talking to that couple that maybe doesn't have children yet even.
Could be who want to have kids one day, or it could be new parents, or it could be parents who've, it could even be grandparents. I can't tell you the number of times I've talked to folks who are more in my generation, who their kids are grown, and they feel like, oh, it's a little late for me. And I say, it's never too late for you, because you never stop being a mom or a dad. You never stop parenting. And God creates opportunities for us to speak into the lives of the next generation. Over and over, Scripture talks about one generation declaring His works to the next. And that the purposes of God, they can't be contained in the span of your lifetime or my lifetime. They go on from generation to generation. And so there are a lot of things that I don't get to do now that I did when I was a younger man. But one of my favorite things is to pour into young men and young women, because I see and I celebrate that sense of generational legacy. And so even if you're a grandparent, as well as an up-and-coming parent, you still have an opportunity to impact another generation.
Yeah, you know, I love grandkids. I have 10.
Oh, wow. Well, and I should be bowing down here.
I pour into them.
Yes.
I mean, they live all close to me. And I only have two that live like 4 hours away, mm-hmm. and they try to come once a month. And I just pour into them mainly how much I love them.
People are desperate for that. You know, just this is a bit of a side story, but when I first felt like the Lord gave me the architecture for this message, there were really five parenting pillars that I felt like the Lord gave me: reflecting, directing, correcting, protecting, and connecting. And I, being a boomer, I think in terms of success, and who doesn't want to be successful? So I was going to title the book "How to Be a Winning Parent," because I thought, who doesn't want to be a win? Who doesn't want to win at parenting? But I found when I started working, especially with younger folks, that whole concept of winning at parenting, again, just felt a little bit judgmental. And so we really put the brakes on the whole project and said, God, you've got to give us a different approach, a different way to present these five parenting pillars. And what came through that discourse and that discussion was the whole concept of shaping a story, because people connect with stories. You might not remember the 7 points of the sermon you heard last, but I bet you'll remember the story that was told, because stories connect us. And in the process of doing the research, you know what I discovered? There are 5 core elements of every great story. It doesn't matter whether it's a romantic comedy or an action adventure or a sci-fi. All stories have these 5 elements: plot, character, setting, theme, and conflict. And we were just amazed at how beautifully those 5 elements of a great story lined up with those 5 parenting pillars that the Lord gave us of reflecting, directing, correcting, protecting, and connecting. It was just really cool how it all came together.
Yes, and I'm kind of blown away. I'm looking at that. I'm going, well, this just resonates. It makes sense. Of course, we've all had that experience. Anybody who's had any number of grandkids, you'll hear your children, now adults and parents, going, wow, she would have never let me get by with that when I was her child.
Oh, yeah. And when you have multiple kids, it's funny, we'll be at the family dinner table and around a holiday when all the kids are together, and they'll all whine and complain about how, as you get older, you tend to lighten up and loosen up a little bit, sometimes for the better, sometimes not. But my older kids would sort of lament, oh, you let Jason get all the way with a whole lot more than we ever did. So it happens over just the course of parenting, too.
Yeah, and I said, you know, it's a testament that I'm learning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm learning. I wish I'd been a grandparent first, because I've learned so many things that I didn't know as a young adult, and they didn't give me a handbook with how to raise my children. Of course, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the perfect mom, and just wanting to be the perfect mom, I think I did a lot of mistakes because of expecting that perfection.
Do you find sometimes that zeal to be, quote, the perfect mom can almost be detrimental? My wife works at a school, Christian school, and sometimes you can see those parents who are so intent on being perfect that they end up being, I don't know whether I would call them hover parents, but they're just so so intense that they actually create stress rather than relieve stress.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I look at, I have a friend who has 7 sons. Mm-hmm. And someone asked her, you know, have you ever tried for a girl? And she said, yes, 7 times. But, you know, the we did this little thing where we gathered baby pictures and put them, you know, made a bulletin board, and people had to guess who. And I have 3 of her sons still in school. Well, the very last son, she had no baby pictures of.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She goes, you know, it's amazing. I took a lot of the first one, and I took quite a bit of the second one. But by the 7th one, I don't have any baby pictures. And that kid's going, why not? Why don't you have any baby pictures of me? She's going to keep looking.
Oh,
she's hoping she'll find some, but she couldn't find any for that event. And isn't that how it is?
Sure. And it's not that you love them any less, of course.
Yeah.
But it just, well, it's like the, you know, when you're coming home from the hospital, and if you have a pacifier and you drop the pacifier, that pacifier is going to be steamed and percolated,
yes,
and boiled, and by the second or the third one, you kind of spit on it, wipe it off, and give it right back to them. It just you realize that, you know what, they're going to survive. They're going to be okay.
Now, in your order, reflecting, directing, protecting, correcting, connecting, these five pillars of parenthood, are they sequential or do they overlap?
No, they can really be taught in any order. And in many ways, one of the things that I'm wanting to do is give parents a perspective that isn't common to the culture. Because it used to be, for generations, parents learned from not just their parents, but their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And there was much more of that sense of generational wisdom and knowledge being passed on. And at least here, we're fortunate in the United States that for generations, our culture was largely based on Judeo-Christian values. So the wisdom of the culture somewhat aligned, mm-hmm, maybe not perfectly, with biblical values that we would want to present, mm-hmm, or pass on or believe. But as our culture has shifted farther and farther away from those Judeo-Christian values, the common wisdom doesn't necessarily line up. Let me give you an example. This whole concept of directing. The common wisdom says, I'm not going to put my values on my child. I'm going to let him or her discover them for themselves. And so the biblical model is just the opposite. It says, no, you train up a,
yes,
child in the way he is called by God to go, so that there is a way in which your son or your daughter was called by God, was created with divine intention and order to go. Psalm 139 says, all the days ordained for you were written in God's book before one of them came to be. So in my life will never have more significance, more purpose, more joy, more fulfillment than when I live my life aligned with that divine design. So what greater mandate, what greater blessing can I have as a dad than to help my sons or daughters, if you have daughters, discover at an early age at least a measure of what is that way? What is that,
yes,
calling? What is that purpose? What is that reason for your existence? And so instead of leaving you abandoned to figure that out for yourself, which sounds great in pop culture, the whole concept of directing is helping them discover or direct them into the reality that,
yes,
there is a way,
yes,
that they can discover.
Yes. We've got to take a break right here. But when we come back, we're talking about these five pillars of making a great family story. When we come back, we'll unpack some of the others. We'll be right back.
Homeschool Companion is a show for homeschoolers and their homeschool teachers. We offer a variety of guests featuring many topics like what to do if your child hates math or how long should you keep your child at home, to special needs children or encouraging the young author to keep writing or even publish a book.
For my first book, there's a huge pimple on my nose. I did what's called self-publishing, which meant that I had all the control of it myself.
Not everyone who listens to our show schools at home. We also cover issues that arise in small private school settings or other issues found in large public schools.
We have a small student body, about 120 students, so we have a very family-focused, family-type atmosphere on our campus.
Kids say funny things at times, and they also ask us questions, sometimes too many questions. What do? When your child stresses you out.
And of course, we've all been there with our kids when they start asking us questions beyond what we can handle sometimes.
What homeschool issues would you like to hear us address? We all have unique situations we deal with at home with our kids. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking with David Welday the Third.
Yeah, that's right.
Congratulations. I don't meet that many people who are the third. And you can go to the website Next Gen Institute, and that's all spelled out NextGenInstitute.com, and learn more about his book, Shaping Your Family Story, How Imperfect Parents Create Hope and Promise for Their Children. We talked about directing. Now, there's the five are reflecting, directing, protecting, correcting, connecting. And you already have mentioned that they're not necessarily sequential, that there might
Correct.
Be a lot of overlap because you might be reflecting on what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might be reflecting on what was done to you as a child. And at the same time, you might be directing your mm-hmm. children or your family in one way or the other. Protecting.
So when kids are little, you can protect your children from external dangers. When they're 2 years old, you want to put locks on your cabinets so they don't get into the toilet bowl cleaner or other toxic chemicals. You may want to protect them from other dangerous substances or things in the home. Those are external dangers, but there are also internal dangers as well. You want to create an environment where your kids feel safe. And particularly if you don't have a healthy relationship, which a whole lot of families, are working hard at getting along and struggling in that area, but they can create a toxic environment, not from chemicals, but just from emotional instability
mm-hmm.
and from it doesn't feel safe. What consistency is so important. My mm-hmm. dad, I can remember when he came home from work, it didn't matter what I was doing. If he came home from work and the stripes on my bedspread weren't straight and my bed wasn't made straight, I got called in to fix it. Now, I never realized till I became a dad how much work that took for him to be consistent in upholding those rules. It's one of the hardest things for a parent, I think, to do is to be consistent in the rules, because there are times like when I'm cleaning and I'm in a cleaning mode and my kids are putting their fingerprints all over the glass and I'm quick to say, no, use the doorknob, don't put your fingers on the glass. But then five other times during the week, if they're doing the same thing and I'm busy with something else and I'm not paying attention, they get away with it. I'm not creating that sense of consistency. And so, do I get to touch the glass today or do I not get to touch the mm-hmm. glass today? Is Dad going to come home in a good mood or in a bad mood? And so, creating consistency is hard work, and we don't mm-hmm. do it perfectly. But those are just simple ways that we can pay attention to creating an internal environment that we protect our kids from. You know, it's it's interesting. A child only learns to walk because of the consistency of gravity. Gravity is always affecting that child the same, so that you lean too far to the right, you fall over to the right. You lean too far to the left. If on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, gravity was at a different degree than it was on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it would be very difficult for us to learn to function, because we don't know what we can count on. So consistency is just a simple example of it. Step back and analyze, what are ways that I'm not creating a consistent environment for my kids that I can create protection for them? And then there's a third aspect, which I call eternal dangers. For example, teaching kids the value of delayed gratification. That's not literally eternal, but there are values that you want to impart to your kids, that where else will they get them if they don't get them from you? And we see this today. We live in a culture where it's like, if I got an extra $50, I'm buying a paddle fan, or I'm going to go out at a nicer restaurant. And so where do we teach values of just simple things like delayed gratification, or living for something beyond yourself? There's just so many of those that we talk about in the books that are just things that are eternal dangers, that if we fail to offer them to our kids, we're setting them up for a harder way than it has to be.
Yeah, and when you talk about protection, you know, God has given us his book. Those are very consistent laws, and he exemplifies consistency to a T. And only with his help can we be a consistent parent, to be honest with you.
God never called us to do this alone.
Yeah.
By ourselves. But we can go into parenting, and this is something I really want to encourage. There's someone listening right now that I believe really needs to hear this, that you feel unqualified, like, I can't do this. And I want you to know that God does not make mistakes. Some parents, the circumstances of their becoming a parent is planned, it's celebrated, it's joyous. Other parents, not so much, that they stumbled into being parent. They weren't counting on it. They weren't planning on it. But there is an eternal God who thought of your son or your daughter before he or she was ever conceived. Before he was a twinkle in your eye, he was a twinkle in your Heavenly Father's eye. And for whatever reason, he saw fit to place that child in your care. So with God's help, you can do it. You can manage. You can be amazing mom, an amazing dad. Don't sell yourself short. That's important.
That's a fantastic thought to end our show on. I've been talking with David Welday, and you can go to nextgeninstitute.com to learn more. We were talking about the book Shaping Your Family Story, and I hope you have as much courage to continue in this quest for parenting as I do. And with that, I have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.